Sportsbeat continues live from Four Winds Field on this Friday evening. I'm Darren Pritchett along with Eric Hansen. He is the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune, and we have another guest in our booth. Great to have with us Dan Hasty. He is the voice of the West Michigan Whitecaps, who, of course, the Midwest League affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. He's a Tiger fan. The Tigers are on the clock right now for the Major League Baseball draft, and they are in the midst of a rebuilding process, so a lot of things going on. So a treat for the Tiger fans and our listening audience to get to hear from Dan, get his thoughts. And first, I got to know, as a diehard Tiger fan,
yes,
what's the experience like to get to go to spring training and call your team and do a little play-by-play?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, Darren. This is very, very cool. Big fan. And so,
first-time caller?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know what, to have a chance to call, I mean, it was everything. Everything. I mean, when it's not just your favorite baseball team, it's your first team, regardless of sport. I mean, it's the first team I ever went to a game for. It's the first team I ever really got into, and it has always been my first. So to be able to do the Tigers and to call a couple of spring training games was a memory that nothing can replace.
You were Ernie Harwell.
I was not Ernie Harwell.
Well, you know what I mean. You were in his seat,
technically,
basically.
I was in a seat that he once sat in. But, I mean, look, I mean, it was wonderful. Dan Dickerson, the voice of the Tigers, could not have been more helpful. Yeah. You know, I've been going down to spring training for the last 3-4 seasons.
Oh, cool.
In order to do some prep for Whitecaps baseball every single season. And so basically, we had just kind of mentioned to the Tigers, hey, we're going to be down here. We don't have a set time. So if you want us to coordinate at the time when if Dan needs to take a day off or anything, and sure enough, he did. So it all kind of fell into place.
How cool.
Well, Dan, I like to read the minor league reports and see which farm teams are doing well, and they better be good, because the parent team isn't good right now, but it sounds like the farm system is got some pretty good prospects. It looks like of their top 30, half of them are pitchers, and a lot of the ETA arrival date is 2019. Does that kind of align with what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, you can never have enough pitching. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
And in today's market, pitching is a lot more expensive. I mean, look how much Mike Moustakas got in the Major League free agent market. I mean, look how much J.D. Martinez got back in a trade from Arizona, whereas Justin Verlander, and obviously there's a different talent level there, but I mean, elite hitter, elite pitcher. And you look at what they got in return in Verlander, it garnered a lot more in return. So I think, you know, their highest talent level is in starting pitching at the top. Behind them, they just need to pick it up a little bit in terms of their position players. They have a big need for position players, and I think they'll find ways to fill that, but it's a painful process, I think, for Tigers fans, because they want to see more position player talent start to come through the system.
Since you mentioned Verlander, two-part question. Let's start with this. Are you surprised with how well he is pitching in Houston right now?
No, not at all. The only thing that's surprising is that, because Detroit knows how talented he is, but nobody ever thought that he'd be pitching the best baseball of his career at age 35. You know, I can't help but wonder, and Trevor Bauer, the Cleveland Indians pitcher, is all over this on social media. I can't help but wonder if there's something to what he's talking about, because right now you look at the American League ERA race, and the top three pitchers are all in Houston. What's going on in Houston right now? I'm not going to sit here with a magic bullet theory, but I'm curious as to what advantage does Houston have, and do we not know about it?
Well, there's a guy in jail from St. Louis that might have the answer to that.
Oh, God.
All right.
Sorry.
Wow. Wow, you went
Let's
there.
Let's go live to the .doc file.
I am a Cardinals fan, so I don't feel so bad about it.
Oh, boy. So, to finish my thought on the Verlander trade, Jake Rogers, Dez Cameron, who we've seen in the Midwest League, you had him a little bit last year, and Franklin Perez. I don't mean to be asking this question after the fact. It's a little unfair, but did they get enough?
I think they got enough in the moment. And I think they made it a point to hold out past the regular trade deadline. And I think when they passed him through waivers back in early August, you knew that it was just as much on the table. Based on how good he's been now, I think he would have certainly garnered more. But, You know, there's just something about Houston being able to get the most out of just about anybody they bring in. And you understand this as good as anybody because the Chicago Cubs were this team before the Astros were this team. It was Jake Arrieta. It was Kyle Hendricks. It was a number of players that came in and essentially resurrected their careers in Chicago. So Houston has that angle right now. The Cubs had that angle at one point. They still have it to a certain extent. But I think at the time, that was as much as they could have gotten. And right now, all three of those guys are top 10 prospects for the Tigers.
That's good news.
Well, Darren doesn't like tanking in sports, and as I look at the AL Central standings, it looks like all five teams are tanking right now.
The Royals, you know, aren't, though.
That, the entire... No, they're not. They're just bad. The AL Central has the lowest winning percentage of any division in Major League Baseball since 1994.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a team, I think it was the AL West back in that strike-shortened season.
Yeah.
The Texas Rangers were about to make the playoffs with a sub-500 record. Would have been like the first time it had ever happened. Mm-hmm. I think the winning percentage in the AL Central is like .355 right now. It's just brutal.
Well, my follow-up to that is, with the Tigers and the rebuilding process, as you look at it, do you believe tanking is part of that plan? And do you believe that the plan, whatever it looks like, is a good one?
You know, I think the word tanking is where people get bent out of shape. Mm-hmm. I think just simply focusing on development and gearing your future towards that is the way to play it. I mean, look at the Toronto Blue Jays. Why is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. still in Double A? It's not because the Blue Jays are tanking. It's because the Blue Jays understand the economics of the game, right? They know that Vladimir Guerrero doesn't make sense for them to be up right now. And if you can gain an extra year of controllability with him 5, 6, 7 years down the future, you gotta do it. Because the whole name of the game is, and you can ask any analytical director this, you can ask any scouting director this, they all want to know, where's the value? Right? Where's the value? And again, when you have a talent like a Vladdy Jr., you have to find value in that talent, and you have to extend it out as far as you can. I mean, the Rays are trying to find value right now. You see what they're doing. They're trying the opener pitchers right now, these relievers that come out in the first inning. And again, they're a young team, and they're trying all these new and different things. I love those progressive teams, and I think that those are the teams that usually find ways to find value in situations that don't usually lend itself to that, especially when the money is tight.
Dan Hasty, the voice of the West Michigan Whitecaps, the Tigers affiliate, joining us here in the booth on WSBT Radio. You know, there's a lot of publicity around the White Sox. I mean, they threw all of their guys away, except Abreu, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They got Moncada, they got Kopech, they got Eloy Jimenez, they got Cease. So they have more of the recognizable big names right now in their minor league system. I feel like the Tigers don't have those wow names, but at the same time, is there enough depth building right now where you feel like they're not going to have to go through a major 3-4 year rebuild?
Well, it needs star power. There's no question. Okay. And the fact that the Tigers are going to be sitting in probably the top 10 of the next, I would probably say, 3 drafts, especially if you include this year. But, I mean, they have the number one pick. And to me, their best prospect is not in their organization. Their best prospect is whoever they take at 1-1 coming up in 10 days.
That says a lot, then.
So the star power is not there. They still need to build that up. So I think whoever they take this year is going to be that guy. They'll have a lot of good, solid talent around him. But we're talking about guys who, from the national view, are probably B or B-plus level prospects, and maybe not on the A level yet. But the guy they take number one overall will probably be in that classification. So they have to do that, and then they have to follow it up with another high pick a year from now. So, and they will have another high pick. They'll sell off some pieces at the deadline, and they'll finish with the top 10 pick in next year's draft. So, yeah, I think it's light on star power, and it's in desperate need of position guys.
Darren and I have kicked this around a little bit from time to time.
Uh-oh.
Where Darren says, what can be done about the draft? Should the draft have a lottery? Should the draft be altered in some way?
A lot of talk about international guys being in the draft. I mean, there's a lot of ways to go.
Right. I'm curious your thoughts on having a lottery so that tanking, or there certainly is maybe not an automatic reward for having the worst record in baseball, and then again, including the international group into the draft as well.
Well, first of all, I don't think it could be any worse than what the format was about 15 years ago, where they alternated leagues for the first overall pick. How horrible of an idea was that?
It was like playing for the All-Star game to have the home field advantage.
I still don't understand why in the world that wasn't even an idea. But anyway, I digress. But, you know, I think we'll really get a look at teams trying to tank once there is a new Bryce Harper or once there is a new Alex Rodriguez level number one overall pick talent. This year doesn't have that. Casey Mize is the projected number one overall guy. Next year, there really hasn't been any talk of a consensus number one player. And usually guys like Bryce Harper's and Alex Rodriguez's or even Chipper Jones's don't come along but once every 5 to 10 years. So the question will be, what will teams be doing that year leading up to whenever that next Hall of Fame type talent, a Ken Griffey Jr., if you will, is going to be sitting there with a projected number one overall pick? Then I think we'll get a pretty good idea of who really is committed to tanking, because right now it's just about finding a bad record and accumulating, more so than a high draft pick, it's about accumulating money in your bonus pool so you can spend it on the draft and work the draft board in your favor.
Do you remember if Harper and Trout were in the same draft, or were they 1 year apart?
Ooh. Now, Trout was taken.
He was taken after Grichuk. I mean, they were back-to-back by the Angels.
25 teams passed on Mike Trout. I can tell you that right now.
I'll look up Trout here real quick.
Yeah, Harper. I mean, Harper, and you knew he was a transcendent player.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a guy that I think in today's tankathon that is Major League Baseball, I mean, you have a situation right now where nobody really is tanking for one specific player. It's unlike the NFL, where, you know, like for example, what was the mantra? It was like, suck for Saquon, or, you know, what was the other ones? I'm trying to think of some of the other guys who have been taken very high. I know that there was like a race to tank for guys like Cam Newton, for example.
Right.
But baseball doesn't really have that. And I think part of it is because baseball's drafts are such a crapshoot that whenever you have that bona fide number one overall guy, it comes around like an Olympic year. It's every 4 or 5 years.
Well, do you think the Tiger, you know, obviously the Cubs did really well with their high draft picks. Do you think that the Tigers brain trust is as good at evaluating those guys, as capable as Theo was at pulling that off?
You know, I think it depends on who you ask. I think if you ask people in Detroit, I think they're more skeptical, but you know, Darren and I were having a discussion about this, too, a little while ago. And, you know, when you have a 40-round draft, it's hard to find a lot of major league talent past round one. If you get if you get rounds 2 to 40 and you find major league players, that's the definition between a good draft and a great draft. You probably should find a major leaguer in the first round. I think that much we can say. But if you're getting draft capital that's in the second round or anything between 2 and 40, I think that's what makes it a very good draft. I know the Cubs have struggled with that even amidst all their success.
The Cardinals have done well with that.
That's what I was thinking, too. They've avoided the tanking by drafting like Carpenter in the 13th round. Pujols was what? 12th, I want to say?
He was in the teen rounds. Yeah. But, I mean, you look at their drafts recently, they've had multiple major leaguers, and then they've done well in the international market.
Well, you're going to appreciate this. So a buddy of mine actually sent this over to me, and he just said, you know, how to draft a championship team, and you guys will know a lot of these names. But this is how the Tigers built their 1984 World Series championship team, a team that is always celebrated and will be celebrated at the Hall of Fame this year. Alan Trammell, Jack Morris both getting in. But Lance Parrish, a first-round pick in 1974.
Manager of West Michigan.
West Michigan here. Tommy Brookins, a former manager here in West Michigan, round one pick in 1975. Then Lou Whitaker in the fifth round of that draft. Then you go to 1976. How about this? Alan Trammell in round two, Dan Petrie in round four, Jack Morris in round five.
Wow.
That's how you do it.
Kirk Gibson round one 2 years later. That's how you win it.
Mike Trout was 09, Harper was 10.
Okay.
To answer your question. And I say this totally tongue-in-cheek, because I want to ask you about trade pieces at the deadline for Detroit. Is there anybody they can flip? And I do get a little annoyed by the tanking. I mean, they got Pete Cosma. They've had Pete Cosma on their roster this year, so there's no sign they're tanking, right?
I mean, when you have Pete Cosma on your team, I feel like we all know what's going on
here. We do. Right? That's the sign. That's the poster
Well,
style.
I'll tell you what. He is kryptonite to Clayton Kershaw, though.
Pete Cosma seems like the guy that if he left his bat in the bat rack, then no one would touch it.
He's the guy they took instead of Rick Porcello.
Wonderful.
And that's what he'll be remembered for in St. Louis.
That's right. And the Tigers ended up taking him because he fell due to signability.
That's exactly
right. I remember
right.
Dave Dombrowski had actually said to Bud Selig, the then commissioner, about drafting Rick Porcello, who had fell due to signability, quote, "At least we didn't pay $50 million to negotiate with a Japanese pitcher."
Ooh,
that was his retort.
Nice.
Why pay $50 to talk to Daisuke when you can pay $5 million to get Porcello?
Wow.
That was before all the slot recommendations came into play. But as for your question, I think Francisco Liriano is a prime piece for them. And is he an elite guy? I mean, no. You mean you're stacking up guys like Liriano against maybe a Chris Archer, and then obviously the position players, Manny Machado is going to be the headliner there. Is Liriano a great piece? I don't think so, but he's pitching much better this year than he did last year. And he's already been flipped the last two trade deadlines in a row. Last season, Teoscar Hernandez, who is right now a StatCast darling, amazing exit velocity, everybody loves him. He was traded from Houston over to Toronto in order to get Francisco Liriano, who pitched in the World Series for them last year. So I do think that there's something to Liriano. Do I think he can garner a top prospect? No. But I do think that he can garner a decent prospect and a position player prospect that has just evaded the Tigers over the last couple of years. So Liriano's the first one. Another guy could be Leonis Martin. He's done a nice job in their leadoff spot. And the last guy I would say is Shane Green. He's their closer. And as you know, relief pitching always seems to get top value. You, as somebody who's affiliated with the Cubs, know all about Justin Wilson, who was acquired by the Cubs last year. Jamer Candelario, Isaac Paredes, who was here in South Bend last year, going over to the Tigers organization. Relief pitching and starting pitching. I mean, you can get something for pitching almost every deadline.
Final question for you, Dan, and let me set up the question, because I would say, Dan, it's all in fun, but catches a lot of grief. Nathan Believe, my guy in Peoria, is like the greatest troller of all time.
Yes.
I mean, he finds something and he will just chisel it home. But through the years, West Michigan is one of the best Midwest League franchises. They're always successful. It seems like they're always over 500. You've won, what, 6 Midwest League titles.
Yes.
And the Tigers do a great job of getting you talent. There's a lot of college players, and that's the grief you always get. I mean, they get the 25-year-olds with gray beards, and that's kind of the joke amongst people. But it actually brings a point.
What's wrong with a gray beard?
Well, when you're 25.
I think it looks distinguished. I don't know. What do you think?
But I guess my question is, it's helped you guys win, but is it helping the Tigers big picture by taking so many college bets?
You know, I think the results of the past maybe 10 years or so they speak for themselves. I mean, there really has not been a lot of talent that has been garnered through the draft. A lot of the Tigers' success has been finding it through trades or finding it in free agency. So free agency is out of the picture now. They're not really going to make any splashes in free agency, at least not until they're ready to compete and they think that they're close. But in trades, they've had some success. In drafting, they've not had a lot of success. And, you know, it's crazy. Last year, we were heading into the season and was looking at the average ages of teams in the Midwest League. The Whitecaps came in at nearly 23 years old. And this season, they came in at just barely over 21. So they almost shaved 2 years off. I mean, part of that is not having a 28-year-old backup catcher. But as long as you have a younger base, and I think they're trying to shave a little bit of time off of the average age of this team. It's still a mountain to climb. We're not going to be confused with Fort Wayne anytime soon and the 19-year-old players that they have. But they're trying to head in the right direction. What's crazy is I'm sitting here thinking that we're getting, like, so much younger. And then I look in the game notes for Fort Wayne the other day, and they say that West Michigan's the second oldest team in the league. So progress.
Well, since the Tigers are in town and since Dan sits next to me, at one point in the game, I feel like I got to pull out that he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched that one go by to give Ernie Harwell a little tip of the cap, you know?
You know, I never got a chance to actually really sit down and talk with Ernie. But little side story. Do we have a minute for a quick side story?
We got about a minute. Yeah.
All right. So when I was in junior in high school, I got cut from my varsity baseball team and I was devastated. Wanted to be a baseball player. Always knew I wanted to be a broadcaster at some point. Didn't think it was going to be the junior year. I thought I had a year or two left to play. My mom wrote to Ernie Harwell, got his home address, wrote to him and said, "Hey, here's what happened. He got cut. He wants to be a broadcaster. Can you send him a little something just to kind of get him on that track?"
How cool.
And sure enough, a week later at the mailbox, there was something from Ernie. And it basically said, "Hey, you know, don't mind a few setbacks. I hear you may be a great broadcaster someday. Keep on keeping on. So it is framed, and it is in the visiting radio booth.
I've seen
it. In West Michigan. I'm sure you have.
I have seen it.
So that's my Ernie story.
How cool. Very, very cool. Dan Hasty, the voice of the West Michigan Whitecaps. Detroit Tiger broadcaster and fan. I'll just put that on your business card.
I'm
Detroit
good with
Tiger
that.
Broadcast. You do it once.
Yep.
It's on the resume as far as I'm concerned. Good to see you.
Absolutely.
Have a great series. Welcome back to South Bend. I wish we could tell a story the last time you were here, but that might be saved for the late hour.
We'll save that for the podcast.
That's right. All right. Have a good call tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Dan Hasty, the voice of the Whitecaps, joining us. We're back in a moment on WSBT.